With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Abercrombie and Fitch, very much, I like how they kind of laid out the beginning, like this is a very aspirational brand, like wanted to wear it, wanted to look like the people in the ads, like even their ads are very much like the image of like all-American youth.
Yeah. And a lot of them were naked, which I thought was also very interesting.
That was also very interesting.
I didn't notice that when I was in fifth grade.
No.
But I sure did look at it. I sure was looking. Yeah.
Yeah. That's I didn't notice it until they called it out in the documentary. I was like, that's true. All their ads were mostly filled with half naked people.
Or naked people.
Or naked.
Yeah.
Or full on naked people.
Yep.
But yeah, it was interesting. It was just like mostly naked, young, whites, all American. There's always like an American flag in the background. Draped over someone. Predominantly white people in the ad.
Yeah.
And yet something about it still, even as a non-white person, felt like aspirational. Like you wanted to belong or be a part of that.
Yeah. And it made sense because it went along with those other brands that have always been aspirational. Ralph Lauren has always advertised in a very similar way with the preppiness of their advertisements. I remember looking at those advertisements, seeing how white they were and seeing how just niche they were in their advertising. Same with Michael Kors, who has gotten in trouble time after time after time after time for only having white people model the clothes in the advertisements exclusively. And then claiming it's American. Same with Tommy Hilfiger, who was big in the urban hip-hop community for a second, had white people in his ads for a very long time. So it went along with that and then had a kind of a lower attainable price. That's what they call it, the attainable price point.
Yeah, very interesting. So I'm thinking like in middle school, I was mostly wearing like baby fat. I was wearing like urban wear, baby fat.
Can you clarify where you went to middle school?
I went to a public, very white middle school though.
Yes.
So, but there was like a pocket of like black and by middle school, I was mostly hanging with the black and Hispanic people, like we were all a little crew. I still had my white friends because we all grew up together since first grade, but it's mostly hanging with just like the crew of black and brown folk. And we were mostly wearing, you know, for us, it was Baby Fat, it was BJ, it was like that was our aspirational brands. That's what I was like saving my money to go for, you know, go to downtown North with my sister and go to like little Dr. J's and get my little jumpsuit or whatever. So yeah, Abercrombie, I just missed that whole, I just never really appealed to me. But it was interesting watching the documentary, just like the nostalgia of it, because I remember, I 100% definitely remember people cutting out pictures and putting it in their locker. Of hot guys' bodies. Or like book covers. Remember you had to like wrap your books? You had to put a book cover on. Woo! That brought me back, yo.
Yes.
Book covers. Wow. You have to get your little, you know, shopping bag or whatever. And people would like cut up the Abercrombie bag, and so their little history textbook had this like hot dude sprawled over the front. I have very vivid memories of that, but not really like chasing to go to Abercrombie and wear Abercrombie. But I love in the documentary when they talked about mall culture.
Oh my god, yes, because I low-key miss it, but I loved going to the mall.
I loved going to the mall.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason why I was so seeped into Abercrombie culture too, because the mall that's so close to our school.
There's a big Abercrombie,
huge Abercrombie there.
There was two hot guys sitting out front.
Two hot guys in the front.
Yes, I remember that. The fucking perfume stench.
Yeah,
hit you from the fucking entrance.
Yeah, yep.
Oh my god.
Yep.
But that was interesting in the documentary. Yeah. Just like I love their deep dive into like pre-social media. How we knew what was cool. It was magazines.
Yes.
It was MTV.
Yep.
And it was malls, like the mall culture.
Yeah.
It's such a different world that we lived in than now in social media, where it's like everyone's an influencer. There are a million fast fashion brands now. Back then, magazines, TRL, and MTV, everybody was wearing the same shit. There were like three brands.
They told you what to wear. They told you you're gonna wear this. And if you don't fit into it, if you don't do this, if you don't, you are not cool. You are ugly if you do not.
You had no other options. Yeah. That's so crazy. Just the plethora of options we have now because of social media, influencer culture, just like the rise of fast fashion brands. Like there weren't that many brands in stores back then compared to where we are now.
There weren't that many sizes back then. And just even like they touched on LFO saying, I like girls who wear Abercrombie
and Fitch. That's
the fact that they did that for free is absolutely blowing my mind.
That would never happen now.
That's never happening again.
Never.
They would get a huge paycheck if they had that song in the chorus of a massive hit that was out in the summer. And also the mall was just very accessible. If you were disabled, you went to the mall. If you were broke, you went to the mall. If you were rich, you went to the mall. Like everybody was at the mall.
Man.
Woo!
So crazy. We all looked the fucking same back
then. We all looked like Lauren Conrad. That's what we all looked like.
Yes, it always comes back to that. During high school, we were wearing what Lauren was wearing.
Yep.
We had scarves, our summer scarves, our big ass sunglasses. Our UGG boots and skirts.
I didn't go that far. But yeah. I wanted to.
But you wanted to.
Yeah.
Because that's what MTV was telling you had to wear to be cool. You didn't have like a TikTok or something to scroll through and see a bunch of other girls who look like you,
or a bunch
of other brands or other options of style that literally was just style. What were people wearing on MTV?
Or even like having clothes that were available. Like I remember when Torrid came out and Torrid was telling the girls what to wear. And it was like, this is not the greater shopping experience. Yeah. I don't want to wear this. And just the Abercrombie, I love how they say they bottled what, one of the people who actually used to work there said they bottled what made everything about high school unbearable. I love how she said that, because that was how I felt. It was the men who did not even see me. They would not even look my way, who were in the front of the store with no shirt on, saying, "Welcome to Abercrombie." And it was a smell that I hated, but that's
fucking perfume.
It was the jeans that I couldn't fit my body into. It was, oh my god, it was everything about it. The dark and the club music vibe that I never got to feel because I was 40 minutes away from my school. It was just everything so exclusive. Woo!
What a horrible shopping experience that they created. Fucking
for anyone who is not trying to be in that environment. But I remember going in there and being like, I hated going in there.
It's dark. I remember another thing. It was always dark as hell. Like you can see from the outside, like you can't even see in. They had the shutters. I remember they pointed that out. They closed the shutters.
Genius.
Very. Yeah.
Oh my god.
And then you
so
get
smart.
In there, they have just like pin spot lights. Like everything is so dark.
Yeah.
The two hot guys, intimidating as fuck, just standing there, no shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
Loud music, horrible smell, just like, sounds like an awful shopping experience. Especially now, I hate shopping, so I can't even. Thank God for online shopping.
I know, Oh my God. Have you ever gone into a Hollister? Because it's very similar.
Hollister, I've had, for a minute, I was wearing jeans from Hollister. I found a pair of jeans. I don't even know how I ended up in a Hollister. Got a pair of jeans, and then I was, like, buying jeans from Hollister.
Yeah.
So I would go in to get the jeans, but similar kind of vibe. Very similar. Yeah.
I remember getting lost in a Hollister once. Oh. Like, I was legit lost. I was, like, turning around. There's mirrors everywhere, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm lost in the store. Like, it was so terrible.
Scary. Yeah. Oy. What a time. Mall life. Oh, my God. That was the place to be, yo.
It was.
That was the place to be. Going to the mall.
Fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was fun.
I went to the mall, taking the bus to the mall. You take the bus.
Take the bus to the mall.
Mm-hmm. Take the bus to the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow in middle school and high school, I always had money. That's so weird.
It was like that allowance is very bizarre.
I always had enough money to buy something or go somewhere. Yeah. What the fuck was I doing? I wasn't even working or really. Like, I don't have money. Jessica worked at the mall at one point, too.
Oh, she did?
She worked at Nordstrom in the jewelry department.
Oh,
making bank. That bitch was cleaning up during holiday time. What? And then she worked there for like a.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Justine, how is your social battery these days?
My God, I am to the brim. I still have time for my yoga practice and reading every night, but I do have a ton of invitations to outdoor happy hours, events. Mm-hmm. This past weekend, I spent with almost all of my best friends at once, and by Sunday, I was completely drained. Mm. What about you?
Yeah, I've been feeling pretty decent. I've been getting a lot of me time, which, you know, is very important to me. But I definitely know what it's like to spread myself too thin, particularly socially, especially with the weather getting nicer, wanting to be outside all the time with all my people. Mm-hmm. I get it. I totally get it, friend.
Mm-hmm. It can take some serious reflection to understand what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge. Maybe you're like me and you thrive around people, or maybe you're like Natasha and need some more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
Now, y'all know we are huge advocates of therapy. We talk about it all the time on this podcast. It's been tremendously beneficial throughout various stages of my life, from being young and single and struggling with loneliness. Therapy massively helped me to cope. Dealing with work stress and crippling burnout, therapy really helped me to set boundaries with myself and prioritize my self-care as well.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/2BG1R today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/2BG1R.
First, she worked at the mall for a minute and then she stopped, but then she would just go back and work holiday season.
Yeah. People do that now.
Still do that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Just put you on the roll and come over.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember Jessica was working at the mall. She was selling... I remember at the time it was like Michelle watches.
Oh, like that was definitely a thing.
Michelle watch.
I was so steeped into private school culture. I remember all those staples.
All that stuff.
I remember all that shit. I remember girls walking around Michelle watches and being like, where did you get $1,700?
What the fuck? Like, yeah, crazy.
And that's who I was like in school with since fifth grade. Like,
yeah.
You know? Oh my God.
Yeah, you were steeped in that shit for a minute. That's what's so interesting, because like this is a whole other episode too.
It is.
Grew up in whiteness.
Yeah.
Just period. Just
in the most exclusive version of whiteness.
But you have been in that exclusive version even longer, from fifth grade. I entered that in high school. I was with just regular white people in middle school.
Yeah.
Just middle class, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you were in that like elite, very wealthy, just a different kind of white from fifth grade, where them bitches was walking around wearing Kate Spade and all that shit from that young of an age.
That's, Yep.
Yeah.
Woo! Still working through it.
Still, I know. Still healing.
Still today.
Oh, God. Oh, but, so yeah. So in the documentary, I liked also, they did a whole breakdown of the history. Like, I didn't realize Abercrombie had been out for, it was from 1890 or some shit like
that. It was like a, it was they described it as elite sportsman, but it was kind of like a celebrity L.L. Bean. Like, that's what,
like
it kind of
outdoorsy
gave me.
Yeah, that's what they were selling, like outdoors type things. Type things.
Oh God, so you're in New York City without saying you're a New York City girl.
I do not know.
God.
I mean, that outdoor LL Bean and what's the other one? What's the one with the P? I want to say Panasonic.
Patagonia.
Patagonia. Yes. Patagonia, old Abercrombie Fitz, apparently. That within itself is just a very white kind of brand lifestyle.
Yeah.
They ain't catering to nobody of color, period.
No. And they make it expensive on purpose.
So on purpose, exactly.
Access it, yeah.
Even access, yeah. But yeah, like how the limited, which I also didn't realize. So they kept talking about that guy, Lex Wexner, who's like the
sick. That's a sick fuck, that guy.
Yeah.
Sick fuck.
Apparently was tied to Epstein and all that.
Oh, yeah. He was by Victoria's Secret was the way it was, too.
He,
which
yes,
I can't
he owns
wait for that exposure.
For that documentary, bitch. What? Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't realize the Limited, Express, Victoria's Secret, Bath and Body Works, all those like mall staples.
Limited. Yeah.
Yeah. I can literally picture our mall that we go to. I know exactly where
where they are.
Of them are. Yeah.
And then the Delia's. I remember the Delia's.
Delia's.
Like over there. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yes. Oh, I used to love Delia's.
Me too.
We're getting their catalog.
Me too. Yeah.
But yeah, I didn't realize they're all owned by the same
company
that then bought Abercrombie.
And the fact that the story is that this very famous, very rich, very sick in the head white man, Lex Wexner, brought in this failed white man.
That
Jeffries failed
he
brand.
Failed at that other Alcott and Andrews. I never even heard of them.
Like me either. That's how failed they are. Okay, that's how far he drove them into the ground. And then this guy was like, we'll give you another
we'll
shot.
Give you another shot.
That
never
happens with people of color.
Does
ever.
That.
And that is what they tell you the American dream is, because that is what these very rich and very famous white men do. And this is what they do. They fucking make it exclusive and crazy. My God.
But it was interesting. He came in. I mean, this guy sucks, but just his the marketing genius behind it. It
I know.
It was really fucking good what he put together. I like how they said they were trying to combine the heritage of Abercrombie. So this brand that already catered to
existed.
Elite white people.
Right.
Pair it with sex and youth.
Yeah.
And then boom, what do you have? Abercrombie and Fitch.
Mm-hmm.
And even how they broke down the brand model, like, you know, an Abercrombie guy, he doesn't have a poodle. He has a golden retriever.
Yes.
He doesn't drive a sedan. He drives a Jeep, like a Jeep Wrangler. Like all the little brands, kind of like icons. Just really interesting and made a lot of fucking sense and made a lot of fucking money, because nobody else, and at that specific price point.
It's the price
Tommy
point.
Tommy Hilfiger, Calvin Klein was doing sex. Their jeans were like $150.
Exactly. Yeah. And the underwear was really expensive too.
Really
I remember
expensive.
The underwear was like $18 a pair or something.
So they found their little, you know, sweet spot and just kind of fucking blew up from there.
Yep.
really interesting. My college at, I feel like I've said it at this point, Penn, they recruited heavy on-campus recruiting.
Oh my God, really?
Yes. I know girls that went to work, literally moved to Columbus, Ohio to go work at Abercrombie & Fitch.
What?
They did heavy recruiting on campus, yeah.
Wow.
And yeah, and then, you know, they kind of were, it seems like one of the first that kind of, one of the first corporate companies that had that like campus, like work campus, where everybody's young and we all work together and play together, but we work 18-hour days.
It was like, very startup. The culture was very startup.
We know now is startup, but what they were kind of already doing, it seems.
Yeah, which I thought was very interesting, but also just indicative of the fact that who he hired. Who he hired would all get along with each other no matter what. Nobody was going to say anything that would offend anybody that would make them leave work or would make them resent the company or would make them not worship Mike Jeffries. Everybody was the same. Everybody was the same. And so it didn't matter.
They sell that like working here is like an extension of college type of thing.
Yes. Yeah. The 13th grade.
It's the 13th grade. So you don't even like realize you're kind of blinded by the fun and the youth of everybody, but you don't realize one how many fucking hours you're working. People be working, and just like how fucked this place is, and how much you're like kind of bought into this culture too.
You're in like a machine, like you're churning the machine for Mike and Lex. That's what's really what you're doing, but it's because you're getting along with people. That's like a huge part of this. Is that he didn't hire anybody who wouldn't get along with everybody else.
Right. Yeah.
That's a big reason.
You gotta fit a certain... to be like a culture fit. You have to be... What they have now in interviews, like the fit interview. Will this person fit in with our...
Oh, yeah. I look disgusted. I've done three of them. Yes.
They fit, which basically is like, do we like you? Is this somebody we want to go get a beer with? Is this
so that we can overwork you.
Right,
so
overwork that, you, and you don't even ask questions. I have no... Yeah, at my college, they did a lot. Did they? Was on-campus recruiting like a big thing?
For banks.
Banks.
For like,
a lot of banks, banks, tech, and then some like big, I guess.
Retailers. We never had retail. Yeah, we never had retail.
Abercrombie was big. A bunch of people that went, that moved. I remember here, I was like, you're going to America. Where? You're moving to Columbus, Ohio. I was like, to do what?
That's where they headquartered.
Oh, hell no.
Yep, them Victoria's Secret, all the limited, they're all in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, that's where they're based.
Oy.
Miss me with that.
Oh,
my God. Yeah.
And then they started making graphic tees.
And then graphic tees.
Yep, which are at an 85% markup, which is definitely, I mean, I understand that for sure. But because of the culture and because of the people who were working there, they started making these t-shirts that were like bordering, and then they started getting flat out offensive.
Just flat out racist.
That Jesus. Two wrongs can make a right a white.
I can't believe that was actually printed.
I can't believe that.
And then they had that white guy that was sitting there had the nerve to say that there was a Asian designer in the room, apparently, that approved it.
And, of course they did.
He approved it. So
he approved it. Yeah,
he's sitting in a room full of white people staring back at him like, is this good?
No shit. Is and they're probably underpaying you, undercutting you in their stock options, undercutting you so that they can make more money in their bottom line, and your life is in their hands because you're probably not making as much money as them. So of course he said it was okay. Of course he did.
Hey guys, that's a little taste of this week's episode. If you want to hear the full recap,
head on over to patreon.com/twoblackgirlsonerose and sign up to get weekly recaps and other Bachelor content from us.
See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.